Welcome to Getting Credit, a podcast focusing on financial markets, corporate credit, and timely insights from Aristotle Funds. Here's your host, Dominic Nolan, CEO of Aristotle Pacific Capital, the sub-advisor for the Aristotle Funds Fixed Income Funds.
Hello, and welcome to number 57. In the next 10 minutes, we will go over recent market action, the Federal Reserve, interest rate hikes, the economy, and opportunities in fixed income. Let's begin. Let's start with market action in April, where we saw both stocks and bonds add to gains. S&P was up about 1.5% for the month and is up 9% thus far in 2023, with big tech really carrying the ball. The Russell 1000 Growth Index was up 5% in April and over 15% for the year. In my opinion, the correlation between bonds and big tech has been quite strong over the past few years. The 10-year Treasury, for instance, started the year at 3.8% and has dropped to 3.3%, so yields are down about 50 basis points, and big tech is up about 15%. So when you think about interest rates, rates are supporting the rally, in my opinion. As it relates to fixed income, with rates dropping this year, the aggregate index is up about 3.5% for the year and up 60 basis points in April. On the credit side, high-yield bonds and floating-rate loans were up about 1% in April and are up about 4% for the year. So a 60-40 portfolio of equities and fixed income is probably up around 6% thus far in 2023. Let's hop over to the Federal Reserve. In early May, the Fed hiked interest rates by 25 basis points. So that takes the Fed funds target rate to a 5 to 5.25% range. However, from a language standpoint, the Fed ditched the quote, hikes may be appropriate, and added that hikes may happen to, quote, the extent to which additional firming may be appropriate. In previous meetings, I think the Fed was looking for a reason to pause. The shift now is, I believe the Fed is really looking for a reason to hike. So the default is a pause. Before the May Fed meeting, expectations were for a pause in June and one cut in December. A day after the meeting, expectations are now for a pause in June, but now 3 to 4 rate cuts this year. So we have significantly more dovish market expectations for the Fed, with the burden of proof having to justify another hike. Given the economic numbers, I don't think that's going to happen. This is really a matter of how long the Fed is going to keep rates here. The real determinant of how long the Fed will keep rates here is inflation. We are seeing inflation numbers roll over. I know wage inflation has been sticky, and it's sustained a little longer than expected, but I think that's due to the lagging effects of Fed action. In my opinion, you still have quantitative tightening, and the Fed raised rates after a minor banking crisis, and that's a significant departure from previous cycles. As it relates to the economy and inflation, I do think bank stress is going to lead to substantially tighter credit conditions. Also, in an intermediate term effect is going to be increased regulation. So as a result, even though inflation has remained sticky, I think there's enough indication that it's going to roll over, and it certainly should prevent the Fed from hiking further. What I don't know is if the inflation numbers will give them enough ammo to cut. As it relates to regional banks, it's interesting because I don't know if the regional bank situation signals anything economically, because a lot of this has to do with what's on their books and their marks relative to a couple years ago. In other words, if they're forced into a liquidity situation and are a forced seller of some of the assets, that's where the problems compound. Given that, I think the real issue is, again, going to be tightening lending standards. And when you look through the stack from major money center banks, super regionals, regionals, community banks, credit unions, I think they're either tightening or not, certainly not loosening. Thus, access to capital will become harder. And when access to capital is harder, risk premiums are typically wider as uncertainty grows and demand weakens. The market's just trying to get their hands around all this. And I would categorize the regional bank situation in a, quote, price discovery mode right now. What does all this mean as it relates to the market and the Fed? The disconnect is really around Fed rhetoric. If you look at where futures are pricing 3 to 4 cuts this year, that is substantially different than the Fed rhetoric, which has consistently been, we are not going to cut. Again, the departure that would indicate the Fed is going to hang on to this is they raised rates this month after the second and third largest bank failures in our country's history. If the regional banking situation continues, is the Fed going to view this as structurally important to lending and capital growth and compel them to cut rates? That's where the markets are having trouble, at least I'm having trouble, underwriting which way it goes. Another item gathering news is our debt ceiling. Right now, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is signaling June will be problematic. I think that's a lot of posturing, but I also believe it's appropriate because the urgency will be very problematic in July and August. Hopefully, they get to resolution in June. I'm not concerned yet, but we'll get there quickly. I do want to touch on the economy. A little more than two-thirds of S&P 500 companies have reported as we're recording this. In general, sales are up in line with nominal GDP. Earnings are up a little over 1%. When you look through to estimated earnings this year, the S&P is expected to earn around $220 per share. Next year, earnings are projected to be around $250 per share. So with current levels, that puts you at a 16 to 18 multiple on a forward earnings basis. I would categorize S&P 500 earnings as okay to slightly better than expected. But when you think about the broader picture, the economy is most likely going to worsen over the next 6 to 9 months. Things are slowing. Confidence is waning. Jobs are weakening. Access to capital could be a potential problem. Thus, assuming we have a recession, in my opinion, the real trick is how deep the recession will be, which is going to be in many ways determined by the response of the Federal Reserve. Right now, we're very much in a time of flux with the economy, markets, the Fed, and rates, and the markets are just trying to get their hands around it. So if I take all these things into consideration, where are the opportunities in fixed income? My opinion, still centered around credit. Investors in credit continue to be protected by the coupons. If you think about all the different headwinds the markets have been going through, high yield and loans are up 4%. That's just above coupon clipping. So you have a ton of protection as it relates to coupons and higher yields. Investment grade bonds have returned around 4% because rates have dropped 50 basis points. In a world with a slowing economy and all this uncertainty, rates moving higher to me is a distant probability. Just to give you a sense of yield levels, investment grade is yielding around 5%. High yield around 9%. Floating rate loans around 10%. And in general, most prices are below par, around 90 cents on the dollar. If you have a recovery at some point, the total return could be attractive. So in summary, I still believe the risk-reward of credit is very attractive relative to many other asset classes. One question we've been getting asked quite a bit is to what extent should we be adding duration? Rates are down about 50 basis points on the Treasury curve this year, at least in the belly, in the longer end. If you have a worsening economy and the Fed is firm and holding policy tight, I would think the curve becomes more inverted, which means there is room to go on the duration side. If, however, the Fed backs off, I think, the 2% target for inflation or feels liquidity needs to be injected, you could very well have a normalization of the curve where the duration play would be more neutral. Again, very uncertain right now, but you're getting such a high degree of protection on the short end of the curve. You really want to consider the volatility you would take on the duration side. And lastly, I will finish up with a personal thought. With this recording being made on Star Wars Day, I will finish with one of Yoda's more famous quotes. Do or do not, there is no try. What he's really saying is there's basically no middle ground when it comes to chasing a goal. If you're going to make the effort, success should follow. Just trying isn't enough. Thank you, and stay tuned.
The views in this commentary are as of the date recorded and are presented for informational purposes only. These views should not be construed as investment advice, an endorsement of any security, mutual fund, sector, or index, or to predict performance of any investment. The opinions expressed herein are subject to change without notice, as market and other conditions warranted. Any performance data quoted represents past performance, which does not guarantee future results. Any forward-looking statements are not guaranteed. All material is compiled from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed.